Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Today we are wrapping up our series, Now What? For the last few weeks, we've been asking the question, you know, what do we do when we don't know what's next? And it's been a perfect series for us as we have walked into this new uncertain season that we are all in. And today we are going to finish that series. And so if today is your very first time joining us and you haven't already, I'm going to highly encourage you to download our app because on this app you can go back and you can watch the last 3 weeks of this series because it's built on each other. And today as we close, we're going to really understand why we can lean in and trust the promise of this entire series and really the promise of the last semester. And it's this promise that we can believe that better is possible. We can believe this in our lives even when things go wrong because God has told us we can. And he told us in a verse we've looked at for the last 3 weeks. This is the verse. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. And what this verse means, and as we've learned over the last few weeks, is that even though God doesn't cause the bad things in our life, he's so powerful and he's so loving and he's so good that he can turn those bad things into good things. And to help us understand what that works, he's given us an example. And we've been looking at this example for the last few weeks. It's a man named Joseph. Joseph found himself in many bad situations. We've called these situations pits. And as we've seen over the last few weeks, God has been with him in those pits. God has been at work in those pits. And as we've studied the lessons of Joseph, we've been able to apply them to our own lives. And if you were here last week, you know we learned that we can even learn lessons in the pit. We can gain perspective in the pit. And the way we do that is when we are in the pit, we look for the pattern. Is God protecting me in this pit? Is God positioning me in this pit? Is God preparing me for a purpose in this pit? These are all lessons that we've learned from the life of Joseph. Last week we saw God definitely was protecting Joseph in this pit. He removed him from a situation where he was definitely going to get in more trouble. We know that God was positioning Joseph in this pit, positioning for something we're going to see today. And it was in this pit that God prepared him for a purpose to walk into his promise, as we're going to see today, because I have good news. Today, Joseph wins. Today, Joseph walks into his promise. Today, Joseph wins bigger and better than you can ever imagine. And the reason we are going to cover Joseph's winning, the reason we're going to wrap this series up today this way, is because it is crucial that I learn and that you learn and that we learn how to win, that we learn what to do when the pit is over, that we learn what to do when we actually walk into our promise. And I know you're thinking, bro, I don't need to learn what to do when I walk into my promise. I can't wait for this pit to be over. Things are going to be amazing. And I understand why you say that. But as we finish this story today, we are going to discover two crucial questions, two crucial moments that we will all come to as we walk out of our pit. And Joseph answers them correctly. And so what I want us to do today is as we dive back into this story, as we learn how to win, as we learn how to walk out of the pit, may we learn the lessons Joseph learned to position us and propel us into all that God promises he will bring. So I want to dive back into the story. If you were here last week, you know we left Joseph right here. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. If you missed last week, what had happened was Joseph's in prison, and Pharaoh throws two of his closest advisors into prison. They both have dreams. Joseph helps them. He interprets their dreams for them. One of the dreams is bad news. One of the dreams is good news. For the guy whose dream is good news, he says, hey, when you get out, he was one of Pharaoh's closest advisors. He said, will you please mention me to Pharaoh? Will you please help me get out of this place? I'm not supposed to be in here. I was kidnapped from my home. I would love your help. And it was the chief cupbearer, and the cupbearer says, man, I got you. I will take care of you. And then he leaves, and he forgets all about Joseph. And last week we saw, but 2 years later, Pharaoh had a dream. And I know for some of you, you've been sitting here thinking all week long, 2 years. 2 years. Joseph had to wait 2 years after fulfilling his purpose in the cupbearer to see any benefit from it. And I think this is a key point for us as we try to figure out what do we do when we get out of the pit? What's God maybe up to? Because there's a lesson we learn here, and it's a lesson I've experienced in my life, and you probably have as well. Rarely, if ever, does God move as fast as I want. But he always does more than I can imagine. And so today, if you feel like you've done everything right, you feel like you've done what you should, you've stepped, you've prayed, you've waited, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, God hasn't forgotten you. Just like he hadn't forgotten Joseph. He was at work. And just like he's going to do with Joseph today, he will turn your situation into good as well. Because Pharaoh had a dream. In fact, he had two dreams. And these dreams scared him. They confused him. He basically has a dream where he sees seven skinny cows consume seven fat cows. And then he sees seven skinny stalks of grain consume seven fat stalks of grain. And he wakes up and he asks all of advisors, what is going on? What do these dreams mean? No one knows. He calls in all the wisest men in the area. None of the men know. And it is at this moment that the chief cupbearer remembers, there's a guy that I met in prison. And Pharaoh, remember that time? Remember when we got mad at each other for a little bit and you kind of threw me into prison? It's cool. I'm not mad. But remember that? While I was in prison, there was this guy there. His name was Joseph. And I had a dream. And he interpreted that dream for me. And he was right. And so Joseph says, man, I want to meet this guy. So Joseph is called before Pharaoh. He's cleaned up. He's brought before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says this. Pharaoh said to Joseph, you know, I had a dream last night. And no one here can tell me what it means. But I've heard that when you hear about a dream, you can interpret it. So I want you to picture this. Joseph has been waiting on this moment for at least 13 years. He finally has an audience with someone who can help rectify his situation. He had helped the advisor. He is there. It is his moment. Pharaoh needs something from him. He can negotiate. He can leverage his opportunity. He can leverage this moment. This is the culmination of everything Joseph has been waiting on and praying on and hoping for 13 years. The most powerful man in Egypt needs a favor from Joseph. And I want you to watch what Joseph says. It is beyond my power to do this. We want to look at that and say, Joseph, are you crazy? What are you doing? This is your shot. This is your moment. You're here. It's beyond my power to do this. Can you imagine the cupbearer right now? He's looking at Joseph like, man, I'm going to kill you. What do you think is going to happen? Remember what he did last time he got mad at me? But this isn't a temporary lapse of sanity in the life of Joseph. See, what Joseph is doing is he's teaching us how to win. He's teaching us how to walk out of a pit. He's teaching us how to walk in to a promise. Because here's what Joseph says. He says, it's beyond my power to do this, but God can tell you what it means. And God can set your mind at ease. See, here's what Joseph's doing. Joseph knows it was God that's been with him in the pit. Joseph knows that it's God who's delivered on this promise. And so even in this moment of victory, in this moment of opportunity, he still chooses to praise the God that got him out of the pit. And it is in this moment that we learn a question that we will be faced with when we achieve victory, that we will be faced with when we begin to walk out of the pit. And it is a question that we should begin preparing to answer correctly right now. And here is the question. When we leave the pit, who will get the praise? You know, I don't know about you, but oftentimes in my life, I tend to blame God for the pit and credit myself for getting out. I can wrestle with God. How could you allow this to happen to me? And then spend all this time crediting my hard work and my effort and my ability to get myself out of that moment. And see, it is in this period with Joseph, it's in this moment that we learn, no. If it was God who was with us in the pit, it must be God who gets the praise and God who gets the credit as he moves us out of the pit. Because sometimes, and actually as we're going to see today in Joseph's life, it is that praise. It is that opportunity to give God the credit that actually propels us forward into the promise he has planned. So I want you to see what happens next. Joseph hears Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh's explained it to him. And then Joseph gives this response. He says, both of Pharaoh's dreams mean the same thing. God is telling Pharaoh in advance what he is about to do. The next 7 years will be a period of great prosperity throughout the land of Egypt. And then, afterwards, there will be 7 years of famine, so great that all the prosperity will be forgotten in Egypt. Famine will destroy the land. So essentially what Joseph explains is, hey, Pharaoh, God's just giving you a heads up. God's telling you what's about to happen. And at this moment, Joseph makes a suggestion. Joseph says, hey, I have an idea. You know, if God's told you it's going to be 7 good years and then 7 bad years, he's giving you a heads up what's coming. Why don't we plan ahead? Why don't you, Pharaoh, plan ahead? If I were you, I would appoint someone to manage the 7 good years, to store grain, to put everything aside, so that in the 7 bad years, you are fully able to take care of your people. Well, Pharaoh likes the suggestion. In fact, we're told that Joseph's suggestion, they were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. And so Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? See, Pharaoh turns to his assistants and he says, guys, do we know anybody else like this guy? Do we know anybody else so close to this God of his? Remind you, Pharaoh thought he was a god. But he notices something in Joseph, and he sees it because Joseph had chosen to give God praise in that moment. He had pointed back to God even as he walked out of the pit, and Pharaoh noticed. And he says, can we find anybody else as good as this guy, with as much connection to this God as this guy has? And then watch what happens. So then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or as wise as you are. So you will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a rank higher than yours. Now, it took 13 years, but that is quite a promise. Joseph, elevated to second in command in the nation of Egypt. All because in that moment, in the moment of victory, in the moment he could walk out of his pit, he chose to give his heavenly Father the praise. See, there was power in his praise because that praise positioned him for an even greater purpose. Because for the next 7 years, Joseph is going to act as a pit preventer for the nation of Egypt. For the next 7 years, he is going to plan and he is going to manage and he is going to oversee and he is going to be used by God to protect an entire nation from famine. All because in that moment, he chose to praise his Heavenly Father. He chose to point back to him. He knew when he got out of the pit, he knew who should get the praise. Now, I bring that up because for many of us, we've walked out of pain in our lives. We've walked out of pits. We will walk out of this pit. And when we do, I want us to remember. I want us to be equipped to know who should get the praise. And I want us to understand that who gets that praise and how we speak that praise will actually be used by God to prevent pit in the life of others. Here's what I mean. We all have friends, family, neighbors, coworkers who have their own struggles. They have their own issues, some we've struggled with, some we haven't. someone we love, and we want to help, and we want to step in. And if you're like me, you've been trying to give advice, you've been trying to give encouragement, you've been trying to tell them what they should do because we know what's best, and we want to help them. What Joseph teaches me is maybe they don't need my advice. Maybe they need to hear my praise. Maybe they just need to hear me say, you know what, I've been there, and it was God that brought me out, and it's God who can bring you out as well. Who do you know in your life right now that you want to help, and you've been giving advice, but maybe they just need some praise? In fact, who could you text this week and say, hey, God's changed my life, and I think he could change yours? You know, next week's Easter. It is typically the easiest Sunday of the year to invite someone to church, and in our current reality, it has never been easier to invite someone to church. They don't even have to get dressed. They just have to turn on a device. So this week, that person you've been praying for, that person you've been trying to help, the person you've been giving advice to, what if instead this week you just gave God some praise? Hey, God has changed me. God has helped me. I'd love to introduce him to you. I'd love for you to check him out this weekend. Join me online for Easter. Seriously, what might God want to do through your praise? What pit might he want to prevent? See, that's what he did in Joseph's life. In this praise, it positioned him for something even better. He was preventing pit in the life of all of Egypt, but God had even more planned for him. Because, see, there's a second crucial question that we have to answer when we walk out of the pit. See, this famine didn't just stop in Egypt. The famine extended throughout the region. The famine extended to a place called Canaan. And guess who lived in Canaan? Joseph's family. His father, his brothers were in trouble. And they heard that there was food in Egypt. And so Jacob, Joseph's father, orders his brothers to go to Egypt and seek of food. And remember, Joseph was in charge of this program. And so when these foreigners come to Egypt, they begin to ask, where do we go to get food? And they say, hey, you need to go here. And they find themselves face to face with a brother. And they don't even recognize him. Check this out. Since Joseph was governor of all of Egypt and in charge of selling grain to all the people, it was to him that his brothers came. And when they arrived, they bowed before him with their faces to the ground. They bowed before their brother. And immediately, Joseph's mind is taken back. Watch this. Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they didn't recognize him. And he remembered the dreams he'd had about them many years before. Now, if you've been with us all 4 weeks of the series, you remember this. Week one of the series, Joseph has these dreams. These dreams of his brother's crops bowing down to his, and it infuriated his brothers. But what we said at the time was that God was making him a promise. And it was a promise that took 20 years to receive. But here it is in this moment. Joseph has walked out of his pit. Joseph is living a promise. Joseph is experiencing prosperity. Joseph's life has turned out better than he ever could have possibly imagined. And the cause of all the problem, the cause of all the pain, the cause of all the trouble is now before him, bowing down. And it's at this moment that Joseph answers a second question that we will wrestle with, that we must learn to answer as we walk out of the pit. And it's this: when we leave the pit, who will get the blame? When we overcome the betrayal, when we overcome the pain, and when God moves through us to deliver on his promise, and we look back, what will we do? What will we say? How will we feel about those people that caused the problem in the first place? Will we use it as an opportunity for revenge? Or will we use it as an opportunity for reconciliation? See, we don't have time to go into all that happens with Joseph and his brothers, but let's just suffice it to say, he discovers that they are changed men. They are remorseful. They regret what happened. They are very sorry about it, and they've completely changed their lives. And so at this moment, once Joseph discovers that, he decides to reveal himself to his brothers. And in revealing himself to his brothers, I believe he teaches us how we should handle the people in our lives that actually cause the pain, that leads to the pit, when God delivers us from it and moves us into his promise. Here's what Joseph says. He says, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. He tells his brothers who they are. At this moment, they freak out. They cannot believe what has happened. They feel guilty. They feel ashamed. They feel scared. So immediately Joseph speaks, hey, but don't be upset. And don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. Don't be angry with yourselves. This is Joseph talking to his brothers who left him for dead, who sold him into slavery. And he's telling them, hey, don't be upset. Don't be angry with yourselves. How? How can he do that? It's because Joseph now has perspective of a promise fulfilled. Joseph is on the other side. Joseph knows his God was good. Joseph knows, what's the benefit now of digging new pits? What's the benefit of trying to push them into a pit of shame and a pit of bitterness? What's the point of that? And he knows that because he has lived this moment, and he was prepared for it. He knew what to do when he walked out of the pit. And so watch what he tells them next. He says, it was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. Now, Wellspring, let me be very clear. It was not God who sent him there. His brothers sent him there when they sold him into slavery. God redeemed that. God saved that. God turned that into good. But for Joseph, on the other side of the pit, the reality is the same. And what I believe God wants to do in my life and in your life and in all our lives is to get us to the place where the reality can be the same for us. That when we walk out of the pit, when we discover victory, when we achieve it, when we receive it, when we're living in that promise, that we know when we walk out of that pit, we do so praising our God and also forgiving our foes. That we praise God for the victory and we forgive our foes for the fall. That we forgive them for what they've done. Now, I know for some of us, the pits are rough. And I know right now maybe it feels like, man, I could never forgive them. I could never get there. But that's because you're still in the pit. We're talking about what happens when we walk into the promise. And the promise is coming. And when it does, God wants us to walk with him in that, praising him for the good and forgiving those who caused the pain. Think about some of the relationships in your life, some of the things you look back on now and you're relieved and you are completely healed of. You are completely fine. You see what God did. You've moved on. Do the people who caused the pain know you've moved on? Do you think there are any people in your life who have caused pain in your life and they're still living in a pit of shame? And you could relieve that pit by letting them know that you've forgiven them. That you understand now, not what they did, but who God is and what God did. Now, to help you understand that, I want to go all the way to the end of Joseph's life, because what happens next is Joseph's brothers and his family and his father, they all move to Egypt. They all live there. They all live in one big happy family. Eventually, Jacob, his father, dies. And when he dies, the brothers all get together and they're very scared because they think, okay, Joseph was just nice to us because dad was alive. He wanted to reconcile everybody, but now dad's gone. Now Joseph is going to get us. Now he's going to take out his revenge. Who could forgive us? Who could ever do this? I don't understand. So they go to Joseph and they say, hey man, we're really sorry again. You want to do something to us? Please do us. Just spare our family, spare our kids. We understand what we did. And it is at this moment that Joseph reveals how to walk out of a pit. It's at this moment he reveals the importance of praising our Father and forgiving our foes. It's at this moment that we discover the secret, the key to moving forward. And quite frankly, this moment is the entire point of the series. It's why we have spent the last 4 weeks studying Joseph's life. It's why we are looking at this promise of God. The whole series has been building to this moment, Wellspring, this one thing that God wants us to see, that God wants us to understand, that God wants us to trust Him for, that God wants us to have in our minds when we don't know what to do because we don't know what's next, when we've been betrayed, when we feel like other people have harmed us, when we feel like things are out of our control. He says, remember my promise and remember how my servant Joseph put it into practice with his brothers when they were begging for forgiveness, when they thought it was finally time for him to seek his revenge. Here's what he says. He says, you intended to harm me. He doesn't sugarcoat this. He doesn't rewrite the past. You do not have to rewrite the past with other people in your life, the people that have caused pain, the people that have... You do not have to rewrite the past, but you also don't have to live in it. See, they wrote the past, but what Joseph understood and what God's trying to reveal to us today is even though they wrote the past, our God writes the future. Our God can move mountains. Our God can deliver on His promise. So Joseph says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people. Guys, I know what you meant. I know what you did, and I can forgive you because my God is bigger than you. I can forgive you because my God has more power than you. My God took what you intended for evil, what you intended to harm me. He took that and He changed it because He's so good and He's so powerful. And guys, He used it to save your lives. Wellspring, can you imagine our lives when we fully embrace the truth that our God is so good and that our God is so powerful, that even when someone intends harm on us, He's with us. He can protect us. And He can turn that to good. I know you may not feel it yet, but it's coming. And we can trust it's coming because our God promises that it is. And when we receive that promise, when we walk out of the pit, when things get better, my prayer for us today is that we will walk out praising our God and forgiving our foes. So here's my question. Who can you forgive this week? Who can you reach out to and say, hey, I just want you to know what happened between us, it was bad. But my God, He's turned it good. And I just wanted you to know I'm not mad at you anymore. I wanted you to know I forgive you. And for some of us, I know we feel like forgiving lets them off the hook. But what is the value of walking out of a pit of betrayal into a pit of bitterness? They're just pits. And when we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, we're the ones who suffer. And so maybe God wants to set you free today and set them free today as well. For others of us, whose pit am might we prevent with our praise? Who can we reach out to this week, not for advice, not to say, here's what you should do, but to simply say, hey, I've been there. Here's what my God did in my life. And I think he could do the same thing for you. And for all of us today, regardless of where we are in our pits, we can rest in the promise. We can rest in the reality that the God of Joseph is still alive here and now. The God who moved in Joseph is ready and willing to move in our lives as well. And he's ready to deliver on the promise he made thousands of years ago, on the promise we see delivered in Joseph's life, and on the promise we can hold to ours. The promise that regardless of the situation, better is possible because our God will turn it to good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your son. We're so thankful for the story of your servant Joseph. Father, we are so thankful that we have this tangible example of how you are at work, even when we don't see it, how you are at work, even when we don't feel it. And so, Father, I pray today as we leave Joseph and as we walk out of this pit that you will give us hope and encouragement that we will as well, and that you will equip us, Father, even now to walk out praising you for who you are, praising you for what you've done. May you get the credit and the praise for all the good in our lives. And Father, equally, may you give us the grace and the ability to forgive the people that caused the pain. May our forgiveness not only bring freedom to us, but may it bring freedom to them as well. God, may we be instruments of your peace in this place. We love you. We are so thankful for your promise. And we believe it will come to pass. It's in your son's amazing holy name we pray. Amen.